in the midnight hour. He will answer prayer. When we can't see our way, God will answer prayer. Let us look to God for a word of prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Eternal God, our Father, I come now, Lord, because we need you. Somebody is hurting right now. Somebody's troubled. Somebody's burdened. Somebody's lonely. Somebody's sick. Somebody needs a job. Somebody needs a raise. Somebody needs a friend. So we call on you because you are a friend. It sticks closer than a brother. Somebody needs a word, Lord. And we know, God, that no preaching can take place without you. So hide me behind the cross. Let them hear what you have to say, not just what I have to say. God, we ask in Jesus' name. Bless now this pulpit to be a point of contact with your divine, infinite, and liberating power. And touch us with your spirit that heals our hurts, calms our doubts, and soothes our fears. And God, let us leave today assured that you are God who does answer prayer. So bless now the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. My strength and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. We certainly thank God for his presence in this place, for blessing us through the leadership of our young people who have read scripture and shared prayer and did welcomes and made announcements. Let's give God some praise for them. I didn't turn out too bad, but if I was in church at that age, I would have probably got on the right track a lot sooner. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is still good. Sisters and brothers, in light of all that has been going on in our nation over the last few years with the killing of Trayvon Martin, to Michael Brown, to John Crawford, to Eric Garner, to Tamir Rice, and to the suspicious death of Lacey Lennon here in our state. These are troubled times in which we live. A month ago, several civil rights groups marched in D.C., and the Progressive National Baptist Convention asked churches to recognize a Sunday deemed Black Lives Matter. So for just a few minutes, I want to call your attention to that passage read earlier from Genesis chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. And I just want to read verse 15, 16, and 17a. According to the New Revised Standard rendering, you will find these words. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast a child under one of the bushes, Then she went and sat down opposite of him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar?" The word of God for the people of God. Sisters and brothers, this particular passage gives rise to some troubling social, theological, and some normative issues. And most students of the Bible must admit that this is a very difficult text to swallow ethically and morally. As I read this text and the surrounding verses, I found it strange and somewhat peculiar that for whatever reason, the text does not give us a response from Hagar to this concerned inquiry from heaven. "Hagar, what's bothering you?" At first, I thought perhaps Hagar was too overcome with grief and anguish to respond to it. Or maybe she was in the process of pouring out her heart and soul to her God. And he was her God, because he called out and reached out to her in the midst of her anguish. Or maybe this mother was mourning over the deathbed prognosis of her son. He was dying. She had done all she could for him, and she did not want to see that boy take his last breath. Or maybe deep down in the recesses of her soul, she was speaking from a broken heart, crushed spirit dialogue, if you will, with the Lord. The kind of language that nobody can understand but God. African-American mothers have known this kind of language all too well and have long understood that you could be so grief-stricken over a son or daughter that you can't do nothing but moan. But even when we can't say a word, God knows the language of our heart. Even when we are too hurt to talk, God understands the language of our souls. And God can discern moans from deep down within a troubled spirit. If Hagar had articulated the struggle from within her and somehow uttered the words of a mother's grief, I believe she would have simply said, "Lord, I've got issues." Not long ago, we came off of a season where we sung "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And many soon will be singing "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." But I'm here to tell you we have some theological issues and some interpretive issues. And because of that, we also have some major social issues. And this story has all three. I'm going to list a few observations and be done. Like any Bible student, I did some research. But I must confess, I was not satisfied with the viewpoint offered by some scholars surrounding this passage. The way I saw it, some of them did an injustice and a disservice to this now homeless, displaced mother and her young son on the verge of dying. I'm not here to represent or defend the actions of Abraham and Sarah, because over the course of history, many biblical scholars have already done that. But if we are to do justice to the principles of morality based on the life and love of Jesus Christ, we must be open to new viewpoints that are in line with the God revealed through history, not only in the Old Testament, but as well in the New Testament. When we close our minds and hearts, we do a disservice and bring discredit to God who comes through the tragedy, the pain recorded even in this passage. We do a disservice and bring discredit on a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A God who Peter wrote is no respecter of persons, and who loves black and brown as well as he loves white, and who loves Palestinians just as much as he loves Jews. Just because we have issues does not mean that God has issues. I'm talking about the God who heard the voice of this weeping child and this mournful mother, and calls out from heaven and sends a word of hope in the midst of a tragic human drama. The God who not only sees but hears the agony of troubled souls in danger. God heard the cry of an orphan child languishing in the wilderness about to die. So no matter how difficult this text is on our emotional and psychological senses, I thank God for the words of this author. For every now and again, God speaks lovingly and tenderly to his people in the midst of struggle, concern, and crisis. Sisters and brothers, we may have issues, but God is alive and well. Am I right about it? We might not like this one or that one, but all lives matter to God. We may elevate some and devalue others, but to God, all lives matter. Do I have a witness here? In critical thinking, the professor would say that this story begs the question. This young, black, fine Egyptian girl, a slave in Abraham's house, is said to have been given to him as a second wife in verse 3 of chapter 16. But nowhere else is she ever referred to as the wife of Abraham. Not by Sarah, not by Abraham, and not even by the angel who calls to her from heaven while she was down in the wilderness. She is referred to as Sarah's maid or slave. Biblically, no evidence is given of a wedding ceremony for this slave girl. Some of my more sophisticated scholarly sisters and brothers would go as far as to say Hagar was taken advantage of by her slave. If that was the case, I must admit, and you must admit, Hagar had some real issues. Perhaps that may explain why she was angry with her mistress, Sarah. Cheryl D. Stevens, in the Layman Bible commentary, says that Sarah's response to Hagar's anger was to whip this pregnant, soon-to-be mother with Abraham's permission. In response, she ran away from her abusive mistress. She had issues, sisters and brothers, with both Abraham and Sarah. But sisters and brothers, this is what I love about God. He shows up in the midst of this mother's wilderness experience. When it seemed like her issues were about to overwhelm her, God showed up. When it seemed like she'd reached the end of her road, God shows up. When all hope seemed lost, God shows up. When she ran out of water and out of bread, God showed up. And when her son was on the verge of death, God showed up. That's good news, because we live in a world full of issues, but God will show up. We live lives that can be filled with all kinds of issues, but God will show up. You don't have to be rich. God will still show up. You don't have to have degrees hanging on your wall. God will show up. When you're in trouble, down, almost out, when you need God, he will show up. Do I have a witness here? God, my sisters and brothers, thought enough of this marginalized mother to show up and to help her in the midst of her issues. Some would say God showed up because of Abraham, but I beg to differ. I believe God showed up in spite of Abraham. That's why the angel asked Hagar, "What's bothering you?" Because God was concerned about, just as concerned about Hagar and Ishmael as he was about Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. In fact, some would argue that God is more concerned about orphans and widows than he is about the rich, the powerful, and the well-to-do. You have a witness here? The angel tells her that the Lord has heard the cries of her child, and he has seen her affliction. Sisters and brothers, God showed up and gave her two things. First, he gave her a promise. Her son would not die in the desert, but would grow up to become a great nation. This amounted to a word of assurance and a word of hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. And sisters and brothers, when we are in the wilderness of life, sometimes all we need is a word from God. Am I right about it? A word that will calm our doubts and soothe our fears. A word that will heal our hurts and mend our wounds. A word that will lift our heads and dry our eyes. A word that will shine light in dark places. And a word that will give us joy in the midst of sorrow. Just the word from the Lord can do all of that and can help us face our issues. God gave her a word. The next thing God gave to her was something tangible. God gave her what she needed, some water, because she had run out. If they were going to make it through her wilderness, she needed water. Am I right about it? When God made the earth, he made it two-thirds water. When God made men and women, he made our bodies 75% water. So without water, things die. Without water, life perishes. Without water, hopes, dreams die. Possibilities die. And there is no future without water. She needed water. Am I right about it? But we also need some water. What kind of water do we need? Well, we need H2O. But we also need some living water. When you've been knocked down, run down, cast down, put down, and beat down, you need living water. When you've been cast out, run out, locked out, and shut out, you need living water. God gave Hagar water. Maybe that's why the elders say he's bread when you're hungry and water when you're thirsty. And Jesus told the woman at the well, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whosoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Won't God give you some water? Am I right about it? God will give us water that will be a well springing up to eternal life. Am I right about it? Sisters and brothers, Ishmael means God hears. Contrary to what some might believe, Ishmael was not Abraham's half-son. Not only that, if we accept verse 2 of this chapter, 21, Ishmael was supposed to be Sarah's son. Hagar was supposed to be acting as a surrogate mother. Y'all read the story, don't you? Haven't you? If your mother won't have you, who will? A child that has been rejected by one or more parents, especially its mother, has some serious issues. But I'm so glad that if we are rejected, God will show up. I believe that's what David wrote. If my mother or father forsake me, the Lord will bear me up. Sarah had issues with jealousy and envy. Abraham had issues too. He may have eventually become the father of many nations, but in this case, he was an absentee father. Oh, y'all read the story. I'm telling the truth. It's in here. It's in here. As a result, Ishmael grew up to have some issues. he suffered from antisocial behavior. You see, homelessness and poverty can breed antisocial behavior. Oftentimes we live in denial because we refuse to face honestly and openly the issues plaguing us, our nation, our community, and our family, and sometimes even our churches. The sad truth is sometimes no one is in more denial than people of faith. Some have reinterpreted the word faith to mean denial. But denying that we've got issues and problems won't solve them. Am I right about it? Faith is not denying the truth. Faith is believing that God will work it out in spite of the hard, the difficult, and the painful truth. Sisters and brothers, it's all right to say to the Lord, I've got issues. It's all right to say, I need help. It's all right to say, I've got problems. It's all right to say, this seems like more than I can bear. And it's all right to say, God, I need your help right now. Do I have a witness here? God, you do know, is all seeing and all knowing. He knows the tears we've shed, the pains we bear, the losses we experience, the pressures we are under, the frustrations we encounter, and the hurts we are feeling. Maybe that's why the hymn writer wrote, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. Maybe that's why another hymn writer wrote, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. That's good news, because I've got some issues, some personal issues that I wrestle with like Paul did. I've got some social issues in a state that's making it harder for black folks to cast their vote, sick people to get medical coverage, and the unemployed to get extended benefits. I've got some political issues in a state that cuts teacher pay and takes money from public school systems, but gives tax breaks to people and corporations that don't need them. We've got some issues in a nation where unarmed black men can be shot and choked to death by renegade cops, and no one is held accountable. You might as well confess it. You've got some issues too. If you come from a broken home like Hagar and Ishmael, if you've been divorced, if you had to wrestle with substance abuse, if you're black in America, if you ever been to jail, if you ever been pulled over for driving while black, if you ever been in a physically abusive relationship, if you ever been exposed to racism, sexism, or ageism, if you're young, if you're elderly, if you're working or unemployed, all I'm trying to say is all of us have got some issues. Am I right about it? But as I close, there is a story about a little boy who used to watch Batman and Robin. One day while watching, he saw the Joker catch them in a very difficult trap. And he thought to himself, they are not going to be able to escape this time. He believed that it was over for the dynamic duo. But somehow, Batman and Robin were able to escape and make it out all right. The little boy went and asked his father, Daddy, how is it that Batman and Robin always get out, no matter how difficult the trap the Joker sets for him. His father said, son, Batman and Robin always following a script. And whoever wrote the script wrote it so they could always come out. No matter what the Joker does, if Batman and Robin will just follow the script, they will always come out all right. And that's what I want to leave you with. Some of us are facing issues with jokers on our job, in our community, in our family, in our churches, and in our nations. But if we will just follow the script, God wrote it so we can come out. We may be hurting right now, but we're coming out. We may be down right now, but we're coming out. We may be wounded right now, but we're coming out. We may be broken right now, but we're coming out because it's in the script. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able, and all we have to do is follow the script. What's the script? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and God will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What's the script? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. What's the script? And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. What's the script? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your step. What's the script? And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. What's the script? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What's the script? The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. No war shall arise, in this I'll be confident. One thing have I desired, I'm the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and behold his beauty. Ain't it all right? What's the script? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ain't it all right? What's the script? Jesus came and he followed the script. He went from Bethlehem all the way to Calvary, following the script. They put him in a borrowed tomb, following the script. But early, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. So what's the new script? No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast. God will take care of you. What's the new script? New days of toil. No heart does fail. God will take care of you. When danger's fierce, our soul assail. God will take care of you. What's the new script? Be not dismayed. Whatever it does, God will. God will. God will. God will. Won't it take care of you? Have you tried him? Won't it show up? Won't it give you wood? Won't it give you water in dry places? Won't it pick you up, turn you around, plant your feet on solid ground? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Yeah, yeah. Brought me. Thank you, Lord, for how you taught me. Thank you, Lord, for how you kept me. Thank you, Lord, for you never left me. Ain't it all right? Won't it show up? I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing. Trying to conquer my soul, but then the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised, he promised, he promised, he promised, he promised.
I've got issues, but I'm here to tell you, there is a God who can deal with any issue that you may be facing.